believe the role that the Lord has given to a mother to fill is one that not else can. It's one that though the world perhaps recognizes it on a certain day, I don't know that they fully value the importance of the role that a mother has. Well, I'd ask for your prayers this morning, the Lord to bless His Word, and we'd be able to get from it what He'd have for us. I don't propose to speak to you this morning about mothers per se, but I'd like to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. You know what this is? For those of you that can see it, if you're listening, you won't know until I tell you. I've got a few of them here. Maybe if I throw it up in the air, you'll recognize what it is a little better. Well, not that one. We called them as children helicopter seeds. I don't know, maybe there's a better description for it than that, but it seems to fit the bill. We've got a tree at our place that's bearing a lot of these, and you see it about this time of year. A lot of these floating down and falling to the ground, and you'll see the ground under the trees that bear these seeds littered with these helicopter seeds, as I call it. And I looked at that and was considering this week as I looked on the ground and I saw it scattered and littered with these seeds. You know, it's a testimony to the intelligent design of God. It's a testimony to the mighty power of God. And I believe that it tells us something of the Lord's plan and design that He'd like for us to be able to get a little something from this morning. When I look and I consider something like this, and I think what the world tells us we must believe, that all that we look on and behold just evolved into being, that over the process of millions of years, it just came to be. This is a bit of an aside, but I look at something like this and I wonder, how could it be? My faith can't hardly take that in. I look at the intelligence of the design of something like this, and the sole purpose of this seed is to promote life. It's to propagate the life of the one that shed it, that cast it forth. But the way it's designed to be able to catch the breeze, to catch the wind, and to scatter itself to another location, how could it evolve like that? Could a seed over one generation, say my grandfather, and bear with me for a moment as I personify the seed, to say my grandfather didn't make it far enough for the tree, from the tree, I need to do better than that. How can I do better than that? And somehow over the process of generations develop into a design as intricate as this? I think not. I think there's a God who designed and created it all. And He had a purpose in mind. You know, whenever the Lord created the world, I don't believe that He just created these seeds and planted it in the ground, and Adam and Eve had to wait through a cycle or a season to see these things bud and grow. And I believe He created a beautiful, well-furnished garden and creation. I believe that whenever they looked forth, they beheld the trees and the grass and the flowers and all of God's creation in its fullness and in its beauty. But you know, things die. And the Lord's plan, particularly when sin took hold and plunged creation into death, you know, the Lord's design was not one that the original tree that He planted, the original grass that He planted and all of that, whenever it died, the rest of time there remained nothing but a barren wilderness. But the Lord designed created a design by which it could carry forth, by which it could bring forth of its own and carry on for generation after generation after generation. Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. My burden this morning is, if I were to title it, Sow Thy Seed. Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, and beginning with the first verse, it says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth." Fourth verse, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." The exhortation and the instruction to us is to give of ourselves. It started out casting thy bread upon the waters, giving of thyself, and perhaps in that it's implying the grain that makes up the bread. Cast it out upon the waters. Cast it out recklessly or with abandon, and be willing to give of yourself, to cast it forth, because without that, you won't get an abundance of return. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days." But I'd like for us to particularly notice the 4th through the 6th verse. It says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and regards the clouds shall not reap." If we tie our sowing to the conditions of life or the world around us, we'll never sow. You know, the Lord's plan for our lives is not that any man should live unto himself or herself. That's not the extent of our existence. The Lord doesn't want us to just be a tree unto ourselves, but that we too should bring forth much fruit. And fruit, by nature and definition of fruit, contains and bears the seed that can bring forth of the same thing again. So I look at that one tree standing in my yard, and I could have brought you probably a 50-gallon barrel of these. In one season, that tree will cast forth thousands. I don't know how many of these seeds that it casts forth. Do you know there are not going to be thousands of trees that spring up in my yard? I hope. Every one of those are not going to bring forth tree. Do you know the plan that God put in place was that it cast forth, can we say recklessly? It cast forth without thought of the likelihood of success. That's not the way that we tend to think many times as humans. If I'm going to invest my time in something, if I'm going to put my energy into something, I'd like to know that I've got a pretty good chance of success. I want to know that I've got a good likelihood of getting a return to what I'm investing. But this says if we observe the wind, we'll not sow. I'd like, before I continue on there, I'd like to relate something to you. I think I've shared this before, but it really stuck out to me. I was reading a while back about some seeds that had been unearthed. This was actually back in, I believe it was the 60s or 70s, as they were in the Middle East. They were excavating some of the sites that they were working in and the Bible lands, and they uncovered a clay jar that contained a lot of seeds, a variety of seeds, and they didn't do anything with it at the time. They took it back to the university or wherever the office was, and they kept it in this jar for a number of decades after that. But in the last few years, they took out one of these seeds and decided, you know, it's been thousands of years, but let's just see if this thing will still grow. And so they took it in the soil and they planted it and they watered it and put it out in the sunlight and all the conditions to make it conducive for life. And what do you know? It started to bring forth a little sprout. That sprout started to grow. It grew into a date palm tree. And there were no other of the variety exactly like the one, because it was, you say, extinct. It wasn't, this kind of tree was not growing still today. But this seed that had been dormant for so many years, it had contained within that seed by God. Who else? How else? By God Himself has packed within that seed all of the potential, all of the information that it needs. If it is sown, if it finds a good soil, if the conditions are right, it's God's workings. It's not mine. It wasn't Adam and Eve's after the first season to go out and somehow try to reproduce all of the greenery that they had seen. But it was the working and the plan of God to be able to bring forth again, even those thousands of years later, it still contained the same seed. You know, the kingdom of God is like that. The scripture says it's like unto a mustard seed, grain of mustard seed, which when planted, it is the smallest of all grains. It seems so insignificant, but whenever it's planted, it brings forth and it becomes a mighty tree that the fowls, the birds of the air will come and lodge in the branches of that tree. But it starts with a small seed. And you know, that seed, as long as it was in the jar on the professor's shelf, did nothing. It wasn't until that seed was sown, until it was planted, that it had an opportunity to be able to grow. The scripture says, how does it go? How shall they hear except one preach unto them? How shall they have an opportunity to know unless they hear of the gospel? Unless the seed of the gospel is planted and sown, how shall they have an opportunity to bring forth life? That seed must first be sown. And whose responsibility is it to sow the seed? Is it the ministers? Yes. Is it the missionaries? Yes. Is it every one of ours? Yes. The Lord has given every one of us a responsibility, because He doesn't want us to just grow unto ourselves, but He wants us throughout our lives. It'll be in different manners. I am amazed to look at all of the diversity of God's creation. There are seeds like this one that I've shown. There are those that we like even less, that are like a burr, that'll get in an animal's fur, and the animal will transport it to another place where it can fall and grow. There are so many different ways that God has created for the seed of a plant or a tree to be taken and born to another location so that it might fall. Maybe it's 1 in 10 that'll grow forth. Maybe it's 1 in 1,000 that'll grow forth. But none will grow forth unless they're sown. And so the exhortation to us here in this passage is, sow your seed. Sow your seed. Don't look at it and consider, I wonder what the likelihood is. Oh, they'd never want the gospel. You see the way they're dressed? You see the way they look? You know what their religion is? They'd never want it. Folks, every one of us, I pray, will be challenged this morning that I've got a calling upon me. There are folks that you reach and encounter in your lives that I never may. And the same with me for you. Lord, help each one of us with the fruit that He bears forth in our lives. And the Lord wants us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Every one of us are bearing fruit in our lives. What is that fruit? And that fruit will bear seeds. If we sow unto the flesh, we will of the flesh reap something. We'll reap corruption. But if we sow unto the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's of itself. It's of its own nature. That seed that it casts forth, if it is of God and of His Spirit, folks, whenever that seed lands, the gospel that God has created a plan, that it doesn't die out when Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven. That was only the beginning of it. There was a seed that was sown. There were 3,000 seeds that were sown, or more than that, on the Pentecost day. Those seeds found fertile ground and fertile soil of people's hearts. And the Lord did the work. Man's not able to take this seed and crack it open and try to force something to come forth. Nor can we in our work and our labor for the Lord, whatever it looks like for every one of us, nor can we force forth something to happen. I can't make somebody do the right thing. I can't make someone want to serve the Lord. But there is something I can do. I've got to sow the seed. I've got to first, let's back up a little bit. I've got to first make sure I'm a good tree. I've got to make sure first, because the fruit will bear witness to the tree. I don't want to bring forth fruit of bitterness. I don't want to bring forth fruit of hypocrisy. Because you know what those seeds are going to do? Those seeds are also going to be scattered. I don't want to cast those seeds, because they too may spring forth and bring forth a plant of hypocrisy, of bitterness, of envy. Lord, help us whenever we think about souls that are dying. Lord, what can I do? Lord, maybe I'm not called to be this, or I'm not called to be that. Every one of us are called to do something. There may be but a handful of seeds that I'm able to sow, but Lord, help me to sow those seeds. Lord, help me not to look at and observe the clouds and the wind and say, you know what? This just isn't a good day. This just is, you know, I just don't feel like it today. You know, it doesn't seem like this is the right time of life for me. Oh Lord, help us to be in the place that we can bring forth this fruit, that we can sow the seed to those that are around us, to the places that we go. The Lord doesn't want the seed to fall only in this place. The Lord wants us, as we go from here after service, every one of us to go forth into our corner of the world, of our community, of our family, bearing forth the seed and sowing that seed. Yes. So don't observe. Let us not calculate the likelihood of success. Let us not observe visible outward successes that I do or do not see. It's a good way to become discouraged. You know, I've sown 200 seeds. You know, I've invited 20 people to come to service in the last month, and not a single one has come. It's not worth it. It's not doing anything. It's not bringing any fruit forth. Folks, unless we sow the seed, thousands and thousands of those seeds lying on my ground, and perchance one or two will spring forth and begin to bear a tree. Folks, if the Lord designed His natural creation this way, the script Jesus talked about, the flowers of the field, He was talking about the cares of life, about the disciples as they were worrying, He said, all the kingdoms of the world have needs of these things. What you're going to eat and wear and drink and all of, and the Lord knows that you have need of these things. If He's clothed the flower of the field like He has, and they don't toil, they don't spin and all, He's taken care of those things. How much more will He take care of you? Will He take care of your needs? Well, I want us to get a hold of that thought in relation to this process that we've been talking about, where the Lord designed His natural creation to bring forth of its own, to bring forth of its fruit, to cast forth its seeds, and to bring forth an abundance. If He's designed His natural creation with such a desire and intention that it should bring forth of His own, if He's willing to invest so that thousands of seeds are sown so that maybe a handful could grow forth, how much more valuable is a soul in His sight? How much more valuable if there's one soul that can be saved, if there's one life that I can make a difference of? And I look around and say, I've been trying to invite people. I've been trying to encourage people. I've handed out tracts. I've told them about website, I've done this, and I don't see the fruit of it. The scripture says, in the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not your hand, regardless of the time of day. You know, we can read today about the generations that have gone before us. And I'll say as a minister, whenever I read of the Brush Arbor meetings, whenever they come into town and they just hear there's going to be a meeting and out they come by the flocks to hear the gospel, and you read of the receptiveness, you know, it can be easy to think, boy, if we were in those times, that would be nice. But it says in the morning, sow your seed. But in the evening time, don't withhold your hand because you're in a different time of the day. Don't say, well, the day of sowing seeds is over. Well, you know, there's just no one interested anymore. You know, there's just so many people caught up in the cares of this world. True. That they just don't want it. The time of spreading the gospel message was back in Brother D.S. Warner's time. True. But it's not over. The Lord says it may be evening time and the hour may be far spent, but continue to sow your seed. Don't withhold your hand. Don't bring it back in and say, you know, I've tried. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Have you ever gotten a call on your phone and you answer it and it's a voice you don't know, saying, we have a product for you? Or saying, maybe you've won a vacation destination. Just continue on this phone for a little while. Just try this product and this vacation destination is yours for the enjoyment for 3 days. Mail us your check and so on. You ever get those kind of phone calls? Somebody want to sell you this, want to sell you that. I don't know how you handle those phone calls. But I don't believe I've ever gotten a cold phone call and said, hold on a minute. I am so glad you called. That's exactly what I needed to do right now, is buy this thing that you're trying to sell me. But you know they do it. You know they're paid to do it. In my mind, they're not paid enough for me to do it. To make a cold phone call. Remember, there was a time that I went and manned some phone banks for a cause that I thought was important, thought they needed some help, and so I placed some phone calls, and you get somebody on the other end of the phone, have no idea what they're doing, and if they want what you're trying to encourage them to go do, vote, and if they're of any interest, if they're gonna hang up on you, there's a cause that you're working for. These salesmen are paid by a company. Do you think a company is going to invest in a strategy that brings no results? It's not likely. But I was reading a little bit about salesmanship. Not that I want to become a salesman, but I do have a keen interest in being able to sow seed. The salesman statistics that I read on salesmen said cold calling has a 2-3% success rate. Think about it. 100 phone calls. Some of them I'm maybe hung up on. Others I may hear language I'd rather not hear. Others maybe it'd be respectful, but no thanks, and the phone call is over. All of that over and over and over again for 2 or 3 people who say, well, tell me more. Maybe I'd be interested. And yet it's an investment that companies are willing to make to say, for those 2 or 3 people, it's worth it. I'm willing to pay you this amount of salary for you to make those phone calls over and day after day after day, if we might be able to get 2 or 3 for whatever product that it is they're trying to sell. Baylor University is not quite as optimistic. They say on average, by their studies, it's 1 out of every 209 cold phone calls that results in some kind of follow-up or results in an appointment or whatever it is that they're trying to sell One out of every 209. Does that sound like a good return to you? Does that sound like something you want to go do if one out of every 200 times you're going to see success from it? One out of every 200 times it's going to yield what I'm wanting it to do. Many times I'll give up on something after 200. If I can't get something to start, I'm not going to try likely 200 times. By the time I get there, I'll say it's not working. Something's got to change. But yet they continue on for the hope of that 2 to 3. 72% of those phone calls are never answered. Number I don't recognize, not going to pick it up. It's probably a salesman, and so it is. And so the phone calls are not answered. Out of the ones that are answered, and this one might have been off of leads that are given, one out of every 59 that does answer has any kind of interest in what's being sold. On average, there are 7.5 hours spent on the phone for every one person that has interest in what's being sold. Again, I'm not interested in sharing these for you to become or dissuade you from being a salesman. But I'd like for us to consider, Jesus said something to the effect that children of this generation are wiser in their time than the children of light. What they're willing to invest to sell a temporal good or service, the sacrifice to which they're willing to go, the lengths to which they're willing to go, over 7.5 hours of investing their time and their energy and trying and encouraging and inviting and explaining how this is, how it's helpful to you. Let me share one other thing with you. 80% of customers, well, this is, all right, maybe two more. 92% of salespeople give up after making 4 calls to the same person. 80% of customers, though, say no 4 times before they say yes. Lord, help us not to become weary in well-doing. Well, Lord, I invited them out and they never came. My neighbor over there, I told them about the Lord, and Lord, they don't seem to be making any change. I'm done with them. Lord, help us to not be weary in well-doing. Read another statistic because they were trying to understand what's the most effectual way to sell a product. They were saying a vast majority of people want the salesperson to listen to their needs rather than just talking and talking and telling why they needed it. You know, I was challenged by that. The scripture says that we ought to be more ready to hear than to speak. That I would, you know, there are so many people in our world today that need a listening ear. That need somebody that's just willing to say, I'm here for you. I care about you. If there's something that I can help you with, you can talk with me, and you know the Lord just might give us the opportunity to say, I feel your pain. I'm sorry for what you're going through. I'll be praying for you. You know, I went through something like that. Let me tell you what the Lord did for me. I'd like to look at, well, let's look at Isaiah 55 in verse 10. Isaiah 55 and 10, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Back to God's plan and His purpose and His design. As He's the one that sends forth the rain and He sends forth the sunshine and all of the elements that are needed to be able to bring forth fruit or to bring forth grain. He said here it was for 2 purposes. Yes, it was to feed us. It was that we might be able to have food to eat. But He said it was also to give seed to the sower. It was also so that you could sow again, and one seed that does bring forth life. You know, there's potential in this seed that it grows to be a tree that brings forth thousands and thousands of seeds of itself from that one seed. And so with the gospel, the scripture says that we read in Ecclesiastes, who knows whither shall prosper, whether this one or that one. I may look on one and say it's a hopeless case. I may look and say that coworker is, I don't even want to be around him. There's no use trying to say good morning. There's no use smiling and trying to be helpful. Or there's no use telling him about the Lord. Who knows whether shall prosper? Whether this one or that one, it may be the one that looks the most saintly. You know, that's sometimes the ones that are easier to go up to and say, well, where do you go to service? Well, let me invite you out to revival meeting. Who knows whither shall prosper? So, Lord, help us not to withhold our hand. We read in the 13th chapter of Matthew, the parable of the sower, going forth to sow his seed. We're familiar with the parable. There was different soil, different conditions of men's heart on which it fell. Some of the soil was stony, some was shallow, some fell among the thorns. Many of them, it didn't spring forth, and those that did, some of it, it didn't last. You know, we can look sometimes and say perhaps those that, maybe it's those that I have invited to service, or those that I've really invested time and I've tried to encourage and guide and maybe help them, bring them to the Lord, and maybe they started out for a while and then they go away and fall away by the wayside. Or maybe it's those that we've seen that have started coming to service, and those in the community or happen by, and we've seen it here, I know. They happen by and come in, and maybe they're in need or they have some troubles or problems and start coming for a while, and then by and by you see them go by the wayside. Do you know we can become discouraged? Say, well, you know what? They can just find us. You know what? If someone wants to hear about the Lord, they can just ask me. If someone wants to know what the Lord's done for me, they can just ask me to tell them. Because I've tried and I've been rejected. I've had, you ever gone door to door inviting people or sharing tracts and see what kind of reception you get? Sometimes it's welcome, sometimes it's friendly and courteous, and other times the door slams in your face. Don't ever step foot on my property again, and those kind of, what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do when something like that happens? What are we going to do whenever we try to turn the other cheek and it's not appreciated? You know, I'd like to be able to have a testimony and a story that someone did me wrong and I turned the cheek and they were convicted and they said, pray for me, I want to get saved. But you know, I may not see that every time, so what am I going to do? Well, that turning your other cheek didn't do anything. See if I do it to them again. What is it that I'm looking for? Am I observing the clouds and the wind and the likelihood of success? Or am I willing to say, Lord, by your help and grace, I'm going to sow my seed day after day, no matter what the response is, no matter what the reaction is, no matter if I ever see them darken the doors of a chapel, Lord, I'm going to sow my seed. I'm going to go and the interactions, the encounters that I have, Lord, help me not to grow weary in well-doing, but to be willing to just cast the seed and let the Lord do the work. Let him take it and carry it where he will and do the work with it from there. Let's look at Mark, the 4th chapter. Mark chapter 4. Verse 26 says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. You know, sometimes we can get, I think, overwhelmed. Lord, I don't know how to draw people to you. Lord, I don't know how to solve their problems. Lord, I don't know how to get them out of their addictions and their habits and religious confusion or whatever it is. Lord, that one's too tough for me. Lord, you send the ones my way that are already of a repentant heart, already brokenhearted. They're already starting to say the prayer. And then, Lord, I'll work with them until they get to amen. And I've done the job. Folks, there's more to it than that sometimes. I've got to be willing to sow the seed. Continue sowing the seed. I'm not maybe even looking back to see, well, is it coming? I'm just sowing the seed. And the scripture is saying here, he doesn't even know how it springs forth. I don't know how the Lord can get a hold of some of the people in our world today. I don't know how the Lord can reach down in the darkest places and touch a heart of somebody that I might would look on and say, I don't see any way. But folks, he's doing it. He's able. The Lord is able to do what we cannot, and the Lord is not calling us to save the world. That's the Lord's job. That's what the Lord came to die for. But there is a responsibility he's placed on us. Go bear the seed. Go carry it forth and sow it regardless of the winds or the time of day. Sow the seed and go on your way and keep doing right. Be consistent. Be faithful. Lord, help us to be faithful in the little things of life, in the small things that the Lord gives us to do, that I not stand back and say, well, Lord, I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm not called to be an evangelist. Lord, I'm not so-and-so over there, so there's just nothing I can do. There's no way that I can reach, but Lord, help me to sow my seed in the places where that missionary or that minister may never be able to reach, that I would sow the seeds the Lord's given me and continue consistently, faithfully. Whenever the Lord can trust us in the small things, being consistent to do righteousness, being consistent day in and day out, faithful to the Lord. We may look at those things sometimes and say, it's so little. There's so little that I can do. And the enemy would like us to get discouraged and feel helpless and feel like there's just not much of a difference that we can make. There's a song that's been coming to my mind. Maybe you know it, and I'd like to try to sing it if you'd join me a couple verses of it. In the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Little is much when God is in it. It's the Lord that gives the increase. And Paul said, I believe in one place, I have planted and Apollos has watered, but it's God that gave the increase. It's not about you and me. It's not that the Lord wants us to be great. It's not that the Lord is calling us to a great place that in my estimation I say, now I have arrived. Now I'm at a place where I am capable. I'm worthy. I'm able. I'm well qualified now to be able to make a difference for the kingdom of God. The Lord is looking for our little. The Lord is looking for our faithfulness. As a congregation, as individuals, the Lord is looking for us to be faithful to the little that he's given us. And the Lord can take a little and he can turn it into something great. He can turn it into to one seed to bring forth over time 1,000 more seeds. If I'll but be faithful to cast that one. Lord, help us to not become weary in well-doing, but to be willing to cast forth that seed and allow it to grow. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. That's the way the Lord designed it. And the gospel seed, as it's sent forth, as it's scattered, and as it's sown, the Lord knows how to bring the increase. The Lord knows how to reproduce of His own. I may look and say, oh, our world today, our generation today, how could a young person saved out of the world ever be able to really be set apart from the world? There's so much working against them. Or I look at a situation, maybe a child, and I say, oh, they've got everything going against them. You look at their home life, at their parents, and there's just, oh, shake my head. There's just no hope for them. Lord, is there a little seed that I can plant? I remember, or I've heard of stories, and I don't believe he's told it publicly himself, Brother Michael Williamson. As a child, his uncle would bring him out to Sunday school consistently, Sunday after Sunday, as a child. You know, that was a seed that she was planting. That was a seed that they were investing, a small child. Does it look like anything's coming forth? Children will be children, not speaking specifically to him. I know how children will be. And every Sunday, every week, but there's an investment. There's a little seed that the Lord had given her that she could sow. And she was faithful in sowing that seed. And as we know, if Brother Michael today, is the Lord has called him and Lord saved him, called him into the ministry, pastoring a congregation, and has been a blessing to many others. The faithfulness of an individual to sow the little seed that I have. Folks, don't discount the little seed the Lord gives you. Let us not look at it and say, this is all I have. I can't make much difference. We began speaking a little bit about mothers. The difference that a mother can make in sowing some seeds. Sometimes we may wonder, what difference am I making? Be faithful. Be consistent. Don't be weary in well-doing in whatever station or place the Lord has called each of us to. Fill it faithfully. And let us pray, as I believe the psalmist wrote in one place, Lord, establish thou the work of our hands. Lord, would you help me? Do we pray? Is it all right to pray that way? Do we pray that way, Lord? Is there something more that I can do? Lord, am I bringing forth the fruit that you want in my life? Lord, who is it that you've placed in my path? Yes. Wanting me, and there's nobody else but me in this place at this time to sow a little mustard seed. To sow a little seed of hope. A little seed of cheer. You know, the difference sometimes it can make to hold the door open for somebody in the store, say, well, good morning, smile. You know, in a dark world that's filled with so much depression, a small seed that's planted and consistency of life, just continue plugging away day after day, week after week, doing the little that God gives me to do. You think there's nothing we can do? Can you smile? Can we say good morning? Can we give a cup of cold water to somebody that's in need? Lord, help us not to discount the importance of the small seeds that we sow, but to be faithful in that little. Driving home from Oklahoma the other day last week, and I saw a sign. It was a Smokey the Bear sign. Wildfires, and all it said on it was, if not you, who? Wasn't a lot of words, but it's had me thinking ever since. If not you, then who? Lord, there's somebody else. And so I'll translate it now to what we're talking about. Lord, there's somebody else that's more capable than me. I don't know what to say. Lord, I don't know how to help somebody through their grief or through the trouble they're in. If the Lord has placed me in that place, withhold not your hand. Don't take your hand into your bosom and say, well, I'm just not able to do it. I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't have enough. I'm not able. But be willing to cast forth. Cast your bread upon the waters. There may be 999 seeds that go out, and it seems to my eyes that it doesn't do a thing. But if there might be one, that'll make a difference. Folks, we're not called to sow the seed only if we see the results. The results may come after we're dead and gone. If they do or if they don't, the Lord has called us to be sowers of the seed throughout our lives. And I want to encourage and challenge us this morning. Sow thy seed. You pray for me. Amen.